Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here was our assignment from yesterday. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burden of anyone else. What is lightening our own burden, working out diligently, is enough to prove our worth. Following the path of our own practice of awareness, we've realized our burdens are lightened, choosing this here now rather than the something wrong, not enough of ego. We choose to offer assistance whenever and wherever we can. We want to be kind and helpful. Today, notice how often your first impulse is one of caring. Record and listen.
All right.
Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
And, wow, yeah, I wasn't expecting to be first. Okay, so it was really fun. I was with my mom this weekend. And it was fun to – so my mom is such a – because she's such a cool human being. So my mom is one who just – she's willing to just anything I introduce her to, she's willing to do. So I she got on – or she was listening to Project Joy with me yesterday and or the day before, whenever I was down there. And it was just fun to it's fun to participate with her and include her in it. And I'd show her the quotes in the morning. And my mom has a form of dementia. And so, you know, we'll have conversations. And then, you know, an hour later, 20 minutes later, we'll have the same conversation. And it's like not, feeling that we're, you know, conditioning wants to come in and try and, you know, go to fear or, you know, anything that, but in the moment, we just had a lovely time together. Just really pleasant, no urgency. The other side benefit. So I injured my knee a week ago. So I've been on crutches, which forced me to slow down. And I have so been enjoying slowing down. It's been just like really beautiful.
Uh-huh. Oh, and, I just love it. I just love it. Right? The beauty of it. Right? So, first of all, I bet most people, if they're paying attention, would realize that it would be a good day if the same conversation in the head appeared once an hour.
Uh-huh.
Right? Rather than just a constant, right? A constant.
Mm.
But then somebody has dementia and they just have the same thing strikes them and they talk about the same thing and there's no awareness or self-consciousness that we just talked about an hour ago, right? So it's a happier externalization of what conditioned mind is doing to us all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Are you with me on that? Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and
yeah. So if
go,
we,
no, keep
go
on,
ahead.
Yeah. Well, and as long as, I mean, then I get to enjoy that conversation with her again. As long as I don't go to a place of anything wrong,
That's right.
It's beautiful.
But who cares what you're talking about? Who cares,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we're here, when we're present, then whatever we're talking about, we realize is pretty much irrelevant. It's just that we're happy to be here together there.
Yes.
And rather than, because very few people can just sit there together or would want to just sit there together, you talk about stuff. And the stuff that you talk about is just it's a way, basically what it comes down to is, I love you. Oh, I love you too.
Mm.
I love you. I love you too. But it would be awkward for most conditioned people to have that conversation. Yeah? But that's
totally.
Really what we're saying.
Totally.
I love
that's
being
exactly.
with you. I'm so happy to be here with you. I just love you.
Yes. Oh, Sherry, that's exactly it. And the other thing is, so she kind of, it's interesting that with the dementia, with my brother, she tends to get really angry and frustrated. And so she kind of goes to the dark room pretty quickly with him. And so we had this, so I'm introducing, recording and listening to her and trying to find a way because machines are really tricky for her. So, it was really fun. So we used my recorder in order to experiment, and she went right there with it. And so we also put on little post-it cards what's true and put them in the places in her house where she looks a lot. And so for the last 3 days, she gets up, she reads them, and then I'm slowly introducing that she's going to listen as well. And so every morning I call her in the morning and, you know, we check in. And now I said, oh, did you read your, we call them love notes. And she goes, oh, yes, I did. And those were, you know, it's just heartwarming, just like oxygen,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Mm. Right. Well, and we could aspire to that. You know, if then every day I get up and I read my love notes and I'm just as happy to read them today as I was yesterday. And if I read them six times yesterday, each time I was delighted, right? And that's what conditioning wants to call a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other part of it that is just that, life in its infinite compassion and wisdom, you hurt your knee. Mm-hmm. So you're required to do something that we guess you would like to do, but you're not allowed to do, which is to slow down and be able to go kind of at the pace of life and be more present to what's going on and take better care of the human being. So so perhaps during this recovery period, you will become so addicted to being present and taking care of the human being that even when the knee is completely healed, you'll still want to go at the same pace.
That occurred to me, right? That occurred to me.
I bet it did.
So I just may carry around these crutches with me no matter what.
You're right. At least one.
So I'm just so grateful.
It's a good reminder.
And all of it. It's such a good reminder.
Oh,
so
me too.
Thank you to everyone.
Thanks. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. I love that, Sherry, that notion that when we get together, we are really in the process of, I love you, I just want to spend this time with you, no matter what we talk about. And it's just such a an eye on how we get bamboozled to believing it's all about the content.
Whether if it's with another person who seems to have all their faculties, then we can get into that. You have to be entertaining or clever upon whatever it is and have something important or good to say. And then, you know, if we're with somebody who has a condition where that's not of interest to them anymore or they're not capable of that anymore, then conditioned mind wants to go to, oh, this is bad, this is a problem, this is not okay. So, yeah, when we get here, gosh, no problems.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello,
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. When I read that line in yesterday's about what if lightening our own enough to prove our worth? Whoa. Whoa.
Now there's a concept, huh?
It's like, what if? It was very relieving and relaxing. It's like, it really pointed up to me that a lot of conditioning conversations are about how I have to prove my worth in one way or another. And
yes, even though, even though we know, because we say it all the time, but we don't actually get it, that the Buddha taught that we are here. I'm not sure he said it that way, but we have the ability to work out our own salvation, and it would behoove us to do it diligently. So there's a big clue for us about, I mean, if we accept the idea that he was onto something, that's a big clue for us that what if might be a really important place to look.
Yes. Yes. And it was, well, I just like looking there. And also the part about notice how often your first impulse is one of caring. I had the experience of, I started going around and just saying out loud what I appreciated myself for, and my husband thought that was hilarious. And so he started saying what he appreciated me for, and then I decided instead of writing him little notes about what could you do around the house here, I wrote him a note that I appreciated him. And it was like appreciation was easy when I appreciate myself. I just automatically appreciated him, and then he appreciated that. Yeah. We were just all appreciative.
And what a happy household, right?
Exactly.
And why not?
Right.
Right? Yeah. You love one another. And yet the conditioning is, well, yeah, but you can't just go around saying that all the time. You
exactly.
You got to point out that he's not doing his chores properly. And
that's right.
Yeah, we have to criticize one another, because criticism is what makes us good.
Yeah. And you're supposed to assume that everybody, we all know we love and appreciate each other, so we shouldn't have to mention it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. In fact, we do all of this other stuff, and we can do all this other negative stuff because, well, you know I love you. Don't be silly. Just because I criticize you all day long doesn't mean I don't love you. Well, how would I know, right? How would I know that? And, you know, Jennifer, the thing that strikes me about what you're saying, or this conversation that we're having, is how it takes us back to being little kids. You know those statistics about the number of times children hear no as compared to yes?
Yeah.
And that place that we've all seen in practice where nobody ever tells children how to be or how to do things or what the right answer is. Just wait until they do something that you don't like and then chastise them for it. That's socialization. And so it just takes us back to that awful child place where, you know, I'm trying desperately to get your approval, and no matter what I do, I can't get it.
Right. And I was a teacher. Same thing. And one year I decided, you know what, I've heard that, you know, there's way more negative interactions with students than positive, so I'm going to turn it around to a 3-to-1 ratio, positive to negative, and I had to record guess what, this was years ago, I recorded myself and my class and counted and taught myself, turned it around and taught myself to be on the more positive, you know, notice the more positive things that were there.
Yeah, they say too. There's a communication technique where, if you want to tell me something about me that's going to be hard for me to hear, you tell me three things that you like or appreciate, then tell me that one thing and finish off with another thing that you like or appreciate. That's the ratio that we need to be able to be open to something that is going to hit conditioning and set it off.
Wow, that's something to consider.
Yeah, and well, you and your husband, you know, you're way ahead of you're doing 5-5.
We're getting
there. That's good. Yeah. All right.
Thanks
so much, Jennifer.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. And you know, Sherry, that process technique is so important, that the way conditioning works is to narrow the awareness down to the one thing that's wrong. And so the way we go from ignorance to awareness is to expand that awareness to include everything. And in everything, I mean, the being present to everything is actually something we can practice. Right? The movement from negativity to appreciation or negativity to gratitude is the aperture opening for us to be present to all of life, not just the conditioned conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so big, isn't it? Yeah. So that looking for what I appreciate, looking for what I care about brings me into the present. And then that's my experience.
Yes. Right? Exactly.
I do care. And I think for people who, you know, if you could just go from whatever normal conditioned in the head reality is to being aware of everything that I care about, it would be shocking. Because I'm not allowed to consider that I care, that I appreciate.
And it's the considering that I care and appreciate that opens me up to an experience of appreciation and caring. I have to make that movement.
Yes, right. It's a choice. It's not. It's never going to happen accidentally. You know, we'll have a wrecked knee or a parent who gets dementia or any of those external circumstances that life is providing us with all the time. But we have to make the choice to take advantage of it.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hello. Oh, good, you can hear me.
Yes.
I'm up in Ventura where all the fires have been raging. And had a really interesting experience yesterday, which is we got up. No power, no electricity, fires everywhere. And my husband says, well, I'm going to the coffee shop. And he just takes, if he's going to just take off. And inside me, it was just like, oh, my God, you're leaving me alone. You don't care. All those thoughts and judgments.
You love coffee more than me.
Well, yeah, they didn't even ask me to go with them. I'm like, there's fire everywhere. You're going to the coffee shop. And, you know, anyway, and, you know, there's that saying that if it's hysterical, it's historical. And,
I've never heard that, actually. That's very good.
Yeah, and so I had to really stop at helicopters going over. Thank God, you know, I'm upset he's just leaving without a second thought, but it was like deeper than that, and I realized, wow, this is kind of, and I don't think it's just the story of my life, but the story of I'm all alone. Mm-hmm. I'm all alone, and I was just dumbfounded. I can feel it now, the intensity of that belief. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going with him. I think I made him feel bad enough. He was like, well, come along. And got to Starbucks, which is where everybody goes in tragedies. And there were all these people, and people were talking to each other and helping each other and lending phones. And I thought, I'm not all alone. I'm not all alone with him. I don't know. It was just a profound moment, and I'm still thinking about it and looking at that belief system that just runs its own program all the time.
Yes, yes, and wants you to be lost in that story, wants to isolate you, would have actually been happiest if you hadn't gone with your husband, right? Because then you could have been there alone, abandoned with the voices in your head, the ego that wants to be your soul companion.
Absolutely. And there was this moment where I was like going to punish him, you know, and I thought, no, it's going to hurt me. I mean, here's a funny story. I was still semi-punishing him, but it wasn't obvious. So we're sitting next to each other reading at Starbucks and doing this and doing that, and I wasn't aware. We looked. We had our legs crossed the same way. We're sitting right in it. And a woman comes up to us and she goes, oh, you all are so cute. You must be soulmates. I thought, oh, my God, she only knew. But, I, you know, then I thought about it, and I thought, it's like that quote that said, if you're trying to change something in yourself, look around, the whole universe is telling you. You know, this thing of,
We are soulmates.
Yes.
That's right.
He doesn't deliver what I want, but he delivers what I need, which is, are you not alone?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and he's there.
Well.
Right?
Oh, God, thanks for that. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. I mean, the voices have to work hard to make this case when the man is sitting right there next to you.
Yeah, and he's been here for 35 years, but that's just a trivial detail. Just a detail in all my anger and rage and blame and fear. And the truth is, he's working on, from his end, this whole feeling of being, he's a 5 on the Enneagram, connected and involved and part of the world. So we really are paired wonderfully for that experience, you know.
Yeah.
I'm alone, and he wants to be. So it was, I don't know, you know. And I think it was
big.
The fire. It was big, and it's still front and center in that quote about look around everywhere. The universe is trying to help you see something. And I'm not clear if there's a to-do in here or something, but it's...
I think there is a to-do in here. And that to-do is keep doing what you're doing. Keep paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. The clues are everywhere for us. And so if we like doing, then the doing is pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and, you know, on the Facebook and an email, text, all these messages, are you okay? Can we help? What can we do? And I'm thinking, and Susan, you think you're alone. It's just, anyway.
Well, the voices want you to believe that you're alone. That conversation in your head is about being alone, and here you're getting just information from everywhere that conversation is a lie. It's just simply not true.
Yeah, and it really touches me. I was going to say sad, but it's not sad. It's something else.
It's moved. We're moved.
Yeah.
We're touched. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, continue to take good care of yourself, okay?
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Susan.
Bye, Trini.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Susan. Wow. It's just so important to notice how separation is what conditioning wants to always focus on. And that when we're here, we actually notice the interconnectedness of it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're present to that.
And the conversation is so incessant because it's trying to convince us of something that simply isn't true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have so much more to say for me, Sherry, but we've got time for one more caller, so let me bring them on.
All right. Well, thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey. So I'm in the position of just jumping on the call very late, only heard a little bit of that conversation. And I'm practicing today's assignment because we're a few hours ahead, and I'm trying to remember what yesterday's was. Can you give me just a brief reminder?
Ashwini knows. Ashwini knows.
Yes, it was no one is useless in the world who lightens the burden of anyone else.
Right.
And that how our contribution can simply be lightening our own burden. I mean, lightening our suffering.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you very much, Ashwini. Yeah, so, you know, one thing I noticed with that is that that it's every moment. And the, you know, kind of the lightening of the burden is coming right back to this here now whenever I remembered. That was the, you know, that was one of the central things for me, is, you know, in terms of conditioned mind, has this thing about who you have to be and what you have to do and all of that in order to be worthwhile. But it's great to know that a very worthwhile thing to do right in this moment is to drop everything and come back to the breath.
Yes, yes. And Jeff, we all know that with other people, right? We all know what it's like to be around somebody who is egocentrically focused on, I need to be the right person, versus the people who are present and realize they're flawed and are doing their best and accepting of that, and because of that acceptance, generous with other people.
Yeah, yeah. Because in that, in coming back, instead of in the doing and trying to be the right person and trying to look like the right person and all of that sort of thing, and then judging other people, getting identified with that and getting identified with the self-hate, in coming back to presence, to the, as in quotes, flawed, that there's compassion.
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing, is being able to relate to, in quotes, self and other from that place of love and passion.
Yeah. Yeah, from caring.
Mm-hmm.
And it lightens everybody's burden, doesn't it?
Oh my
right?
gosh, it's so lightens everybody's burden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
We're enjoying ourselves, we're enjoying everyone else. We're not a pain in the neck to be around. And everything is just lighter and brighter and happier.
Yeah, and in that moment in which I am a pain in the neck temporarily, I can realize it right away and go and just go and apologize and come right back to everything's okay in this moment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and in fact, depending on who the relationship is with, you can say, "Oops, I was gone there for a while, and now I'm back." So, yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's so wonderful. In the work that I do, it's really obvious every day what place I'm in. Working with children, there's no there's really no hiding that.
Right.
It's just very
right.
obvious whether there's compassion, who's here. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's just there's no hiding it from anybody. It's just that adults have one way of reacting, and children have a very different way. Right? So when they're not fooled, they let us know they're not fooled. Adults, we kind of conditioning makes that agreement. Okay, I won't notice your conditioning, and you don't notice mine. Okay, that we'll make that free.
Yeah, right. Yeah, kind of unconscious bargain. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Ashwini.
Take care.
Thank you, Sherry.
And that brings us to the end of another show, Sherry. And here's our assignment for the day. Mm-hmm. Only one like myself who has opened his mouth and spoken. Only one who has said yes, 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 and again yes, can open wide his arms to death and know no fear. What an excellent reminder that yes is life, the unborn and dying, and no is ego, fear, the only thing that is born or will die. Want to live without fear? Say yes to life. Want to die without fear? Say yes to life. It's wonderful to have a simple recipe to follow, isn't it? Today, keep a running tally of all your yeses, remembering that not saying no is a yes. Record and listen. That was good.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
Everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Take care. See you tomorrow.
All right. Go happy.